Got your Bibles open up to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Amen. The 23rd verse. Glory to God. We're talking about, what are we talking about?
Communion.
Communion. Yeah. The importance of it. And what it creates. And what it costs us. In the 23rd verse it says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Come on and put your hands together for God's blessing. The name of this message is Check Yourself Out. Because I found out as long as I'm checking me out, I'm not in your business. Communion deals with all of that. Paul, when he was talking, I remember Paul wasn't at the table. He was not at the table. So he didn't get the fellowship with Jesus the way the rest of them did. So you have to understand that this word that he's given us here is so prophetic and so authoritative, because the word that he's teaching is a word that manifests itself in his spirit from covenant relationship with the Old Testament. He said, "Why received?" When'd you get it, Paul? How did you get it? You wasn't there. You wasn't sitting with the 12. You never met Judas. So how did you receive? It's called revelation, which means revealed knowledge, which comes from the word of God that's already in your life, from the Spirit of God breaking that word down and making it known unto you. Most of the knowledge that God has blessed me with has been by revealed knowledge. It hasn't been by what somebody has taught or what I've heard somebody say. It's been revealed knowledge, whereas you have to trust God that it is true. Amen. And you research it along with Scripture to make sure that it is true.
Amen.
Paul, having this revelation, this deep understanding of who the Lord is, says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." I could only surrender and entrust or commit this to you if I knew it to be true. The word of God has to be so real to you that it's true. The fact that you've never met Jesus, you've never seen Jesus, you've never heard him vocally, you've never heard Jesus vocally, but you have to trust with him that he is the Jesus.
Amen.
That he is the Christ, the everlasting God.
Yeah.
Amen. The kingdom of God. What does that? Faith.
Mm.
Faith does that. Through faith and revelatory knowledge, Paul comes to the understanding that that which I'm going to give you, surrender to you, or commit to you, was also committed to me. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, or he had been surrendered. There's going to be a lot of times folks are going to surrender you. You ever heard the saying? It used to be old saying, but now it's fresh and anew. Better you than me. Hallelujah. That same night in which he was betrayed, the same day, or that same season, or time period, which he was surrendered or given up for death, it says he took bread. See, but you don't understand, when he took the bread, he had to become a part of what the bread represented too. The bread represented the Father. So he had to assimilate himself with the Father. Amen. What he was doing was teaching us. This is what God taught Paul. He taught Paul through understanding and revelatory knowledge from Scripture. If you don't study your Bible, you'll never have a revelatory word. It is impossible for you to get a revelatory word and don't study your Bible. Because God reveals himself in and through his word. That same night, he became a part of the bread. And when he had given thanks, when he had thanked the Father, kind of unfortunate, when Jesus thanked the Father for committing him to death. You ever thought about it like that? He's sitting there giving thanks all the time, realizing that his life as he knows it in the natural was about to cease, no longer exist. But it said he gave thanks. When you know him for yourself, and when you are going through all type of trial and tribulation and circumstance, sickness and disease, tribulation in your finances, tribulations around you, and trouble persecuting you and afflicting you, you have the ability to give thanks in the midst of it because you know Jesus. And then the revelatory part of it is you know Jesus and you come to the understanding that the Father loved you so much and he gave him for you. Jesus said, I'll give thanks. Verse 24, he said, I have given thanks. This is, he said, he break it and said, logos, a spoken word, take. When you take or you touch something, you've got to become intimate with it. He was saying, take. First, you have to become intimate with it before you eat it. We are taking communion and we're not intimate with Jesus. You, it's impossible to be intimate with Jesus if you don't have a prayer life. It's impossible to be intimate with him if you're not studying to show yourself approved. It's impossible to be intimate with Jesus if you don't have the nature and the character of Jesus. Or you're not at least striving to have that nature and that character. Communion is all about you're communing with him. Meaning you're not just communing with this cup and with this cracker. You're communing with your life. Lord Jesus, help me. He said, break it. And said, take, eat. Folks break you all the time. But when they break you, you have to make sure they have something they can eat on. He said, this is my body. Not that the bread was his body, but it was a type, shadows, a symbol of his body. In the fact that he was about to be broken for our lives, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Somebody around you needs you. But they can't have you, or your life won't profit them any, unless you're first broken.
Amen.
I know we don't want to hear that, but it's the truth anyway. Because what you have now ain't going to get them through. After you're broken, and you go to God, and you meditate upon the word of God, and you seek God, and you ask God to strengthen you and fortify you, and you realize that your victory ain't at the end of your battle, but your victory has just come up on you because you're in the midst of the battle and you can still see him.
Yeah.
That's what victory is.
Yeah.
What was the song? Don't shout something, but shout now. Don't wait till the battle's over, but shout now. Amen. Hey, eat. This is my Bible. And I don't know about your Bible, but my Bible has the "my" capitalized and the "body" is small. Signifying that it's all about him and nothing else. Ain't about nothing else. Not about our trials. Not about our problems. Not about what you think or how you feel or what you imagine. It's about Jesus. This is my body, which is broken. I like that, because as Paul was stating it, he was already saying, when he was at the table, he was already saying, I've already been broken.
Amen.
I'm not going to be broken. I've already been broken. Because I've already realized that I've got to give my heart and my life for a bunch of selfish, self-righteous folks. But I'm going to do it anyway. He said, do it. This do in what?
Remembrance
of me. What was he saying? Sometimes you have to recall or recollect. Father, you can do it again. You healed me once. You can do it again.
Amen.
You blessed me once. You can do it again.
Amen.
You gave me a financial miracle once. You can do it again.
Amen.
Whatever you did once, you can do twice.
Amen.
But Lord, I understand that where I was when you did it the first time, I can't be there to get it done
Amen.
The second time. Amen. I've got to have grown or matured in the things of God. I have left to learn from my trial, learn from my situations, learn from my tribute. I have to have learned something. You know what's unfortunate? People are packing coliseums and auditoriums, and all they know about Jesus is what they hear. There are people that come to church and know nothing about Jesus. They only know about what they hear. Jesus was telling them at the table, as Paul is saying now, you've got to have a personal relationship with him.
Amen.
And you know what? Not only do you know him by his name, he got to know you by yours. I would be afraid to ask folks, how many think and know for a fact that Jesus know you by your name? If you're not doing it in remembrance of him, he don't know you.
Amen.
If he can't look into your character and see himself, he don't know you.
Amen.
If he don't see a change in your nature, he don't know you.
Amen.
He said, do it in remembrance of him as a memorial. As a memorial to me, you got to walk upright. As a memorial to me, you got to say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Strengthen me so that this thing don't get me anymore. As a memorial to him, you've got to love your brother. As a memorial to him, you got to pray for them that despitefully use. The memorialism is the fact that whatever he did, you've got to do it also.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a memorial, you know, this thing has gone crazy, where every time somebody died, they put these dolls and these these bears and all this stuff on these poles and in the street, and the person is gone. And in most cases, all that does is remind people of what they lost. And litter up the area that they're doing it in. If I lost one of my sons and they started throwing stuff on my yard, I would take it and throw it in the street. You better throw garbage away. How many heard me? You got to throw garbage away. If you want to be a memorial for God. After the same manner, also, after you done gave, broken yourself and given your life to him, after that, then he said, when we had supped, he said, after the same manner also, the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm a testament of Christ.
I'm a testament of Christ.
I hope you know you are.
Yes.
I'm a testament. This cup is the new. As you think about cup, when you have a cup, you do what with a cup? You fill a cup. But you don't leave it full. The cup must be empty. Or if you leave a cup with coffee or with pop or with juice in it, it does what? The flavor changes. It picks up a smell. Oh, Jesus. The New Testament is in my blood. New Testament. I got a new testimony, Pastor Keys. Reason I have a new testimony is because I'm a different person. I'm not what I used to be. Not even yesterday. I'm going to get that in a minute. This cup is the New Testament. Fresh. A renewal of a contract that we weren't able to keep. But this new contract, you can do more than keep it. You can become it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
They say a lawyer, a good lawyer, tell you all the time, never sign nothing without getting a contract. Because a contract is binding.
Amen.
You know why Jesus gave us a contract? So he could bind us. But you know what the problem is? Saints are writing the wrong name on the contract. So nothing binds them to change their character or their nature. You better make sure when you dot that line, it's your name. It's your blood. He said, this is in my blood. He said, this is who I am. The covenant is who I am. If you eat this bread, drink of this cup, and you allow this same bread to come forth out of your life, the same fluid in this cup to flow up out of your life like rivers of living water, somebody's life is going to realize that the covenant that I have with you, I can also have with them.
Amen. Amen.
I want to be that new covenant. But I already say it's going to cost me. And it has, and it does. Amen. For the simple fact is, I have to remind myself. I have to recall, Reverend Paulette. I have to recall to my remembrance that I'm entered into this contract and I'm bound by this contract. My goodness. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I like that part. For as often. How often do you eat this bread and drink of this cup? It's supposed to be a 24-hour thing. You're supposed to be eating this bread and drinking this cup. Not just a certain time or a certain season, but a continual thing. 24/7. You're supposed to be nibbling on this bread and drinking and sipping of this cup. Because as you eat and as you drink, it'll flow forth out of you. I heard this. I heard one of the guys say yesterday, he said, you know what? They were laughing about what this guy was saying. And one of the guys said, you know what? What's in you gonna come out? Amen. If folks in the world know it, how come you don't?
Right. Amen.
Amen.
He sure didn't say it. Red. The only thing come out of him what's already in it. I said, my goodness. That's what I also said. I said, my goodness. Because immediately I recall believers that don't believe that, who don't understand that the only thing that's going to come out of them is what they're putting into their lives.
Amen.
If you murmur and bellyache and complain all the time, that's what you're eating on.
Amen.
If that's what you're eating on, that's what's going to come out.
Amen.
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 I passed the first lady and I passed the guy the other night, and his car door was open and he was leaning out the car. And it wasn't funny, but it was funny because I looked at her. I said, well, he only throwing up what he put in. It's going to find a way out. And if it's rotten, it's going to make you sick. And you know what? When you get to puking it up or throwing it up, it's going to make somebody else sick. You ever see somebody doing what you say? Ew. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Hey, I'm almost done. Look at that. Look at the clock. Y'all turn around, look at the clock so you don't have to look at your watch. Don't even try it, mother. I'm going to give you this mic and let you do it. Don't be trying to make me lie over here. I just said I'm almost done, mother Harris. She doesn't have any more minutes. Why, you trying to go to lunch? I'm giving you your lunch right now. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or you proclaim. You proclaim with your life that you've taken of that cup and that you've eaten that bread. Every day of your life, you are proclaiming, showing forth, manifesting the nature and the character of the bread and of the cup. Now, you can mess around and eat that bread or that manna that he gave them in the Old Testament. Folks will be wanting to know, what is it? Don't make folks try to wonder what God you serving. Ooh, Lord, what is it? Well, show the Lord's death. When you talk about death, we're talking about, you have to show his resurrection. You have to prove that he died, but that he is alive.
Amen.
When you use this bread and this liquid and this cup that's in your life, in your covenant relationship with God, you show or you proclaim that the Lord that most people assume is still dead because they still got him on crosses. Has resurrected and is now living in a born again believer. The Bible says you must be born again. Till he come. I'm looking for him. But I stopped looking to the sky. Because when you look to the sky, you see red moons. Horoscopes. Don't even go there, brother. Leave that horoscope alone. A lot of y'all get up, y'all don't stay, don't start till y'all read y'all horoscope. And then most of the time after you read it, you're trying to make it happen. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord, on what?
Worthy.
Say it again.
Unworthy.
On what?
Worthy.
Unworthily. Shall be what?
Guilty.
If you're talking about Jesus and you don't know Jesus. If you're telling folks to pray and you don't pray. If you're explaining to folks what fasting is and you ain't fasting in 20 years. If you're telling people to have faith and you've got little. The bread and the blood is unworthy in your life. And you know what? It says you shall be held liable. That's like somebody falling on your property. You will be held liable. That means it don't matter where they fall, if it's on your property, how they fall, if it's on your property, or what they were doing if they're on your property, you're going to pay.
Yes.
So make sure when folks come into your life and you're held liable for it, make sure you've got some good insurance.
Amen.
Make sure your policy is stamped with the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
But it can't be stamped with the blood of the Lamb if you're not in covenant relationship with Him.
Amen.
If you just know of Him and don't know who He is.
Amen.
You're supposed to know who He is because you see Him in you.
Amen.
I know what it is to be held liable for something. The judge make you pay too. Just like that judge, this judge gonna make you pay. Because God gonna hold you liable. And what He's actually, we're getting to what, because the work is about to self-explain itself. Shall be held liable of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now you have to remember something. Paul recognized this fact that if Jesus was gone and was resurrected and was now living in men, so He didn't have a natural body anymore. His body, we became.
Right, man.
So if we became His body and His covenant or the blood or the covenant was in us, then what Paul was saying was, you better check yourself because you are going to be held liable for the rest of the people in the body of Christ that you offended.
Amen.
That's why it says, but in spite of all this, in spite of realizing who you're supposed to be in God, in spite of understanding that you have a new covenant with Him, in spite of understanding that His blood now flows through your veins and His blood has become your blood, in spite of all this, you still got to check yourself. That's why it says, but. Very wise. Examine yourself. Let me tell you what. If I spend time examining myself, pastors, I get so caught up in what I'm trying to change. All I can do is ask God to bless you. Because what you're doing is too much for me. I don't need that added to me.
Yes.
But let a man, or anthropos, or as God has created us, examine ourselves, test or try. You have to test yourself, try yourself, and see if God be God in your life. I ask myself sometimes, Elder Russell, I sit there and go, do you know him? Do you know him? Or have you heard about him? You better start examining yourself. You better start checking yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, check yourself. That means leave me alone and check yourself. I said it for you. Get out my business and mind your own. Stop talking about me and talk about you. I guarantee you, you can talk about you from here to eternity. Examine yourself. After you've examined yourself, afterwards, let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Meaning, you can't show forth a character and a nature of a king until you first realize that the mess in your life has got to go.
Amen.
I know, don't let y'all got the mess in y'all.
Amen.
I'm working on this mess all the time, Brother Tony. Because you know what I found out? The old man is messy.
Yeah.
He is messy. Because it says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. Well, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. What it's saying is, you are actually condemning yourself. You have cost yourself. Sometimes I have to repent. Sometimes I look at some of the things people go through, and I say to myself, Lord, you know they did that to themselves. Why are they trying to find somebody to blame it on? They done brought forth judgment on themselves. Judgment comes in a lot of different ways, too. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven and Jesus said, keep thee from before me, you worker of iniquity. You can prejudge yourself in this earth. Better check yourself. Better make sure when you take communion that you done made you yourself right with God. Not just this cracker and this juice, but every day you're supposed to commune with God.
Amen.
The problem is we eat it. What we're doing, we're eating and drinking damnation or judgment to ourselves because we're trying to live by something that can't live by itself.
Amen.
You're trying to live by your own thoughts, by your own ideas, by your own principles, when you got this word in you which is telling you to do something totally different from that which you want to do.
Amen.
Is it hard? Yes, it is. Is it ever going to get easier? No, it's not. But guess what? You can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you. And you can do it all. The problem is, we haven't figured out that what we go through is what we do to others. It's really quiet.
Amen.
We eat and drink a damnation to himself because he hasn't discerned the Lord's body. He hasn't forgotten that this is my brother. This is God's body.
Amen.
That's God's body.
Amen.
That's God's body.
Yeah.
What I do to them, I'm doing to God. Can you imagine if folks had the revelation power or the knowledge to understand that what I do to you, if you are a child of God, I'm doing to God, don't you know they will stop messing with God?
Amen.
But they can only see flesh. So seeing they can only see flesh, They're condemned for persecuting flesh.
Right, right. Amen. Come on.
I tell you what, let alone.
Yeah.
Let alone. Because God gonna do what He gonna do.
Yeah.
And if they messing with you, let them alone. Because God gonna take care of them.
That's right. Yeah.
Paul was such an intelligent man. He was something else, but he was an intelligent man also, as we are something else. Because he used Old Testament scripture to come to this understanding of revelation knowledge and the fact that the word of God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. It means don't you touch them or don't you be involved or come apart, become a part of their lives to the point where they judgment. What's that scripture? Folks that got so holy they ain't no earthly good. That's scripture. No earthly good. You ain't no good to your fellow man or your brother because you just got so super spiritual. Because you haven't discerned that every born again believer you're around is a part of the same body that you're a part of. Regardless of, listen to me, whether they big, small, white, black, they smell or they don't smell. They got on one left shoe or one right shoe. They got on one blue sock, one black sock. It don't change the fact. Or they're very articulate or they're not articulate. It don't change the fact that they're still your brother, your sister in the Lord. And you have the ability to prejudge yourself by not understanding that fact. When you touch somebody's life and it's not unto edification, exaltation, or to rebuild or to replenish them, you are prejudging yourself. Because you haven't discerned or come to the understanding that they are just as much a part of God as you are.
Amen.
And for this cause, for this reason, because of this effect is the word I'm looking for. Because of this effect, many are weak and sickly among us. That don't mean that they're weak physically, or they're sick physically, but they're weak spiritually, and they're sick spiritually. You ever been around a spiritually sick person? They got their own ideas of what that word is saying, and it don't line up no place with the word of God that it does. Amen. Folks say if you don't get baptized, you won't see Jesus. If you don't speak in tongues, you won't see Jesus. If you don't dance, you won't see Jesus. My Bible says if you be born again.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Slash.
Yes.
You won't see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
All these other things are blessings, extras that you need to live a good life for God.
Yeah. Amen.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't discern.
Man.
Everything looks the same, sounds the same to you.
Yeah.
There are many weak for this effect. Because of this reason, the fact is folks are weak. They're lingering. They have lung diseases. I mean, not cancer, but I'm talking about a lung disease where they can't breathe with the breath of God. And many sleep. Many slumber. What good does it do to come to church every Sunday or every time the door is open and you ain't getting nothing out of it because you spend most of your time beating up on somebody while you in church? Or saying, how do you beat up on them? Man, they should have been here. That was a good word. But all the time that word was for you. That's why you here. I like did it all the time, Diane. I go, somebody get, make me mad in church. I go, man, they missed that. They should have been here. That word would have set them free. One day God checked me. He said, why don't you get free? The same word they heard is the same word you need.
Right.
You talking about if they had been here, they'd have been blessed. Well, they not here, but you are.
Yes.
You change.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Folks asleep, they're slumbering. Yeah. For if we would judge ourselves, if we would check ourselves, examine ourselves,
yeah,
no one else has the right to judge us. And then you understand nobody has a right to judge you. Because you'd already judge yourself.
Right.
Folks are falling by the wayside. Not coming to church. Not paying tithe. Not doing the things they want to do. Not encouraging folks. Not trying to lead folks to Jesus because somebody else doesn't judge them because of their actions. But if you know who you are in God and you've already judged yourself, then you do what you do for ministry.
Yeah.
Man.
You can't be concerned about what people think. You do what you do for Jesus. I remember when they used to call us holy rollers. They don't even call us that no more. They got new names. They used to call us holy rollers. Because you talked about the goodness of God. You know what? We better go back to being holy rollers. Amen. When you remember this, when you think of the word blood, when it talks of the word blood in here, it means you have a kindred spirit. Check yourself, examine yourself, and see if you have a kindred spirit with Christ. If you don't, you need to go back to the drawing board. Everybody's thinking. Because someplace down the line, you'd have put the wrong equation down. You'd have made 2 plus 2 be 6 instead of 4. But because you're so caught up in who you are and what you're doing for God, you see 4 even though there's 6.
Yeah.